Out of Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, going to verse number 10, a very familiar passage. How many people in Sunday school here have heard of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. A brief overview. He was a Jew who collected taxes on the behalf of the Roman government. And the Jews actually hated him because he actually represented the Roman government. Not only did he collect what was owed to the Roman government, but he also collected in excess of what was owed. So he was a thief. He was a fraud. So he was a guy who was not well liked at all by the Jewish populace. Now, in our day and time, Pastor, we only want to talk to people and give the gospel to those people that we really think are worthy. Did you hear me? Those people that we don't deem to be worthy, I had an issue with Arabs. Had an issue with Arabs. I got to tell you the truth. But God kind of showed me they need Jesus also. And if he's sending me on an appointment, I need to obey what he tells me to do. I don't care who it is or what my thoughts are. Y'all don't have that problem, do you? Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. If you have it, you can stand, if you're able. He entered Jericho and was passing through. He is Jesus. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Wow. For a short title to some short words this morning. An appointment in Jericho. An appointment in Jericho. You all, Jesus never did anything by luck or chance or anything like that. Wherever he was going, he was sent there. So Jesus goes to Jericho, but he has an appointment with somebody in Jericho. Jesus found me hanging out with the boys, running, drinking, Pastor. And he had an appointment for Billy. He sent somebody to give me the gospel in exactly where I was. And then I heard, and I came to the knowledge of Christ. What about you? How's he sending you? Now, the people that he sends you to, are you all saying, that's nice. He got money. He don't need Jesus. Or is it an Arab? Are you listening to me? Now, God sends Jesus. Now, listen. He is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He sends him on assignment for a tax collector, somebody that everybody hates. The Bible says about him, nothing was made that was made without him. And then he sends him for a tax collector that everybody hates. The Bible says in verse number 2, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Verse number 3, he was small in stature. He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't see Jesus because he was small and the crowd was big. Do you all think that his size was by chance? No. God works everything out according to his plan and his appointment. If he sent you, listen, wherever he sent you on your job, at your house, that is the plan of God, and you are to literally operate where he has sent you. The Bible calls him a chief tax collector. And I think it's a good thing that they did call him a chief tax collector, because literally, if you convert a chief tax collector, you can really kind of reach the rest of them. Y'all got it, did you? Now, God sends this Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, to talk to a chief tax collector that nobody liked and everybody hated. And he was very rich. Very rich. And the Bible said a rich guy came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Do this, do this." He said, "I've done all these things." And he says, "Okay. Sell everything that you have and come follow me, and you will have riches in heaven." The guy who literally, the rich guy, literally could not do that because the money had a hold on him. Did y'all hear me? The money had a hold on him. Literally, he couldn't let go of the money. Listen, now if the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, whatever it costs to get to Jesus, I'm going to give it up. So it's critical that he's a chief tax collector and he's rich, because we already have a precedent that rich guys have a trouble letting go of the money. The Bible sets it up pretty. Sets it up pretty. Verse 4 says he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree because he was small in stature. But Jesus was about to pass that way. There was another appointment Jesus set in Samaria. Everybody knows about the woman at the well, right? A woman with a reputation that was terrible. She had a lot of husbands. And she also had somebody she was living with that was not a husband. And she came to the well at a specific time of the day so that she wouldn't have any issues with anybody else. But Jesus, God sends the Son of God to a well to actually tell a woman with a questionable reputation about living water. Yep. Everybody up? That's it. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, Jesus. Can I encourage you all? God know your name and he know where you are. No matter where you are or what happened to you, God know your name. And listen, God sends Jesus as he stops at this sycamore tree and tells this guy, Zacchaeus, come on down from the tree. Literally, he said, I'm here for you. The second person of the Trinity is here for a guy that everybody hates and everybody disdains because he's a thief and a robber. But Jesus stops by the will of God at a sycamore tree and say, I'm here for you. This thing is intricate. Wherever he send you, he has you there for a specific reason. And it's by the Holy Spirit. There's no chance in the kingdom of God. He's working everything together for the good. Even when I was lost, he sent somebody and they stopped and they, Jesus called my name through somebody else. Can you all imagine? If you up in the tree looking for somebody, of course it's got foliage on the tree, Pastor. And you up in the tree looking to see somebody, they stop and they look up and they call your name. You say, what's going on here? I thought I had some, I was hidden some kind of way. But you can't hide from God. Especially when he's made an appointment in advance for you. He stopped something at the tree called Zacchaeus. He said, come down. It's an imperative, like right now. Because now is a time of salvation. And the interesting thing is, Jesus said, I must stay at your house today. Listen, Jews wouldn't really go in the house of the tax collector, literally because they thought they were going to be defiled. Now, if this Son of God goes to a tax collector's house, and he don't care what the natural thing is, because he has an appointment for Zacchaeus to be saved that day. He said, I must come to your house. Do you know? Literally. When you do what God tells you to do, you'll find out what's in the hearts of other people. Because this tax collector is getting straightened out. And you got people on the side grumbling about Jesus going to the house of somebody to save them. The will of God will always expose what's in the heart. Whether for the one who's being saved or the one on the sideline who's got something to say about what thus saith the Lord. Why are we so surprised when we get pushed back from inside the house of prayer? We act like the battle stops at the door. No. It's happening on the inside of the house also. Because God is busy purging and maturing. Sister Tate, I hope I'm not talking too loud for you. Jay, Tina Jay. Listen, they grumbled. Zacchaeus come down and he's rejoicing. Ho-ho! This is good news. Somebody really wants to, a holy man has called my name and now he wants to come to my house where the other people said, we don't really want you around because you're a thief and a robber. But this holy man comes and say, I'm going to your house today. He come down and he's joyous. Do you know what you are? Jesus was on a path back to Jerusalem the last time. And on the way back to Jerusalem, he was saving people on the way to the cross. Did you hear me? Yeah. Zacchaeus was one of those that were being saved on the way to the cross. Yeah. Now, the other notable person that was being saved on the way to the cross was a thief. Another criminal. That while Christ is dying, feeling, you know, getting things straight so that I can have eternal life, he's saving somebody else. In the midst, he's saving me, but he's saving somebody else too. Unlike the rich guy who actually held on to his money, Zacchaeus said, Lord, behold. You know what is interesting? There was nothing said about what the conversation was about when he went to Zacchaeus' house. Nothing was said about that. Was the gospel given? I don't really need to worry about was the gospel given, because I see the output and the result. He's a rich guy. He's a chief tax collector. He got all the money. But now, listen, the transforming act has already happened, because I see the result of what went on in the house. He's ready to give up his money. He said, I will repay fourfold. And a half of my riches I will give to what? The poor. There is a distinct difference from the rich ruler and Zacchaeus. That's what happens when the Spirit of God get on the inside of you. Your pockets that were tight now become free. I can give it up because God's on the inside. Y'all, listen. Now, when you give in the morning, what happens? What happens? You're free now. I give with joy because I've been saved. I want to help you, Pastor, because now the Spirit of God live on the inside, and it's evidence that God has what saved me. I don't have to know if he said anything about the gospel, because the output said that he did. What about our output? What does it say? What does it say? That we have been in close proximity to Jesus? I hope so. Jesus said in verse number 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. Oh, that's interesting. He's a Jew, right? He's a physical seed of Abraham. But does that count for anything? Yes, no. Yeah? Which one? Does it count for anything? Being a physical seed? Well, amen. Philip is all right, and except no kind of look like his dad. No, he does look like, look, Pastor, don't get it wrong. Listen, but Philip cannot be saved because of who his dad is, his physical dad. Zacchaeus cannot be saved because he is a physical seed of who? Abraham. The real seed of Abraham is the spiritual seed. The one who has accepted Christ by what? Faith. And it's interesting. We discount people. You can't be saved. You're too bad. You done stole too much. You done did too much of the stuff. Physical proximity does not save anybody. The most critical statement in the scriptures, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he didn't put any stipulations on that at all, Pastor. Wherever he sent you, that's where you're supposed to go. Appointment in Jericho. It was my job today to encourage you. I hope I didn't cut you up. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that by your Spirit, Father, you have saved us, and you not only saved us, you kept us. For those who are here, like Zacchaeus, Father, they're here for a specific reason. And I ask in the name of Jesus that you would save right now and be glorified in that, Father. So with this same joy that this Jew who was rich and was hated by many can be administered to those today who do not know you. Father, be glorified today and save according to your power. In Jesus' name, amen.